Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I want you to holler at me, so give me a call, 347-826-7435. That is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Also, if you're a little afraid to call me, email me your questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. If you email me, I promise to read or talk about what you talk about, because I'm a nice guy like that. I'm just built like that. Also, social network with me. Go to the Facebook Smooth Drama page, add me, or ask the petition to add into the group, and me or Mr. J will throw you in there. And just Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, that's where I'm at. Add me, and we can talk about it. You know, because I like talking to y'all. Y'all make me laugh, and I hope that I make you laugh, too. Speaking of laughing, man, game tonight, it's no joke. It was like, yep. And I got several hit-ups. Yeah, support the town. I mean, y'all know I'm not from the Bay Area. I live here. Everybody, you should support the team where the town you live in, to which I will not curse. I'm not gonna curse. I'm just gonna say that I'm with my team. And if your team wins, hey, good for you. I'm not going outside that night because people are gonna be burning cars and turning stuff over and wrecking the town. That's what happens in championship cities. But we premature. Yeah, it's game one. They beat the hell out of Cleveland tonight. It looked ugly. It doesn't look good. But Sunday is a whole nother day. Maybe Cleveland turns around and everybody's choking. Like, oh, we thought that they was going to sweep them. So we'll see. Anyway, lest I even get started. Man, well, before I even get started, I almost forgot I have the Anton Marks giveaway. If you want a copy, just email him. Go to antonmarks.com and email him and put Smooth Drama in the email, and you can get a voucher for a copy of his new book that's coming out, The Last Prince of Akivalon. It's a good read so far, so y'all might want to check that out. You know, support the brothers. Now, I would rather y'all just go ahead and pay whatever and buy the book. Because, you know, black authors need that love, and that's how the dollars get circulated. And he's trying to get a foothold here in the United States. You know, because we're all the same. So support the brothers. And I mean, if you want a free copy of the book, cool. But if you can afford to buy the book, by all means, support my main man Anton Marks. Speaking of support, I saw this article when they were talking about Rihanna and talking about why people are comfortable with her weight gain. Like, and so I'm like, weight gain? I mean, they're talking like Rihanna was like, she like blew up to like 400 pounds or something. I mean, it's just, she put on a little weight, so now she's like thick. Like thick the way most of us like it. I mean, because gone are the days where you can throw Bo Derek out there, put some cornrows on her and say, she's a 10 because she's got cornrows. I mean, right now, the honesty is in the ass. I mean, you see Rihanna and she's got dick. It's kind of how we like it. I mean, women get famous. I mean, the Kardashians are famous because they've got fat asses. Oh, also because every dude that has hit it has also flopped and is no good all of a sudden. They have a talent-draining pussy, but that's a whole nother conversation. But the fact that they were talking, they had an article talking about Rihanna. It's one of those subtle racist things, like, oh, well, she put on weight and it's supposed to make folks, why people are comfortable with it, because it's sexy. Thick is sexy. Rail thin, your back and your ass, there's no definition, no difference between them. Nah. That is no good. And anybody who says it is somebody with a pinky-sized penis. But I digress. I don't want to go there. I just say that you see the pictures. Saw her at the game tonight. She looked nice and healthy. And as Jeff Van Gundy, one of the announcers pointed out, when she walked by, she looked really good. You know, he was saying that, hey, I watched her ass, and it was shaking the right way. And Mark Jackson was like, yeah, I wasn't looking, which means he was looking. But, you know, Reverend Jackson can't say that I was eyeing booty. And, you know, his wife and kids is listening, so he gets a pass for that. It's still subtle racism. Sort of like stop and fondle. The Philadelphia Black Lives Matter chapter sent a few pairs of men's underwear to the Philadelphia Police Department to protest the, as they call it, stop and fondle practices the local law enforcement has been using over there in Philly. In the Facebook Live video, activist Asa Khalif condemned the stop and frisk tactics that the city's police officers used to dig in people's pants to search their underwear. He said it was sexual assault. And in the second video, the activists confront officers outside of their headquarters. He said, it is illegal to stop and frisk. It is illegal to go into someone's underwear and touch their penis, touch their buttocks, he said in the video. You think it's common practice and it's legal, but it's not. Now, you know, we understand stop and frisk, and that's, it's illegal, but we know it happens. It's one of those things that happen to Black folks. It's like, hey, we know we're a suspect, and cops pull you over and woo, you gotta make sure you don't have drugs, whatever. Or as one time when we were stopped, hey, they sell drugs in this area. Okay. Anyway, reaching into the underwear is a new one. I guess they're saying that maybe you will be taping the drugs in underneath your penis or on your ball sack? I mean, is that, or in between your cheeks? So now, apparently it's a thing in Philadelphia where you're reaching into someone's underwear. You know, I'm just like, hey, if you want to see my dick, just say, hey, you know what? I mean, we just get past the pretenses. Like, you know, I just want to feel on some penis. I won't grab you. I mean, because that's what's happening. They say they're looking for drugs, but I mean, when you're reaching inside, when you're in the underwear, that ain't going too far. Just a little bit. Philly, wow. They, with, I mean, reaching in. in your underwear. Proper police work right there. Thumbs up to the Philadelphia Police Department. Y'all are setting a great example for police. I guess it's better than stopping and shooting, brother. Is that the trade-off now? Well, we're not stopping you, shooting you, and killing you. We're just grabbing your penis. And I mean, and we start talking about the lady. So, because I'm a guess that this is a male phenomenon. Because if they reach into a woman's vagina, it's sexual assault, but we haven't had that reported yet. But I'm going to guess that it's probably happened. It's probably happened. But it'll come up sooner rather than later. And speaking of something that came up, and, you know, we talked about the game. If you didn't know, before the game happened, earlier this week, LeBron James' Brentwood home had the N-word spray painted on it. And, you know, a lot of people, and we talk about subtle racism. In the article, they make sure to mention that it is his $20 million Brentwood home. Now, to me, it's inconsequential how much the home is worth. The fact of the matter is, there's a crime that was committed. They spray painted the N-word on his house, saying, "Hey, we hate you, LeBron James." Now, of course, there was no one home. He wasn't there. No one from the family was there. But it's still a defacing of their property. But it hasn't been the lead part of the story. And it goes into my dumb ass of the week. My dumb ass of the week. Always got to get that last burp in. Jason Whitlock, a reporter for who knows where, and I don't give a shit at this point. Black man, I will point out. He says, LeBron James and rich black folks like LeBron James don't deal with real racism. And I quote Mr. Whitlock, when he says, "I think it is a disrespectful inconvenience for LeBron James. He allegedly had the N-word spray painted on his $20 million Brentwood home. He wasn't there. His family wasn't there. He heard about it." He says, and then I'm quoting Whitlock says he felt like James was acting like a victim while speaking about the vandalism to reporters, and claiming that being a black man in America is tough. To which he goes on to say, "Racism is an issue in America, but it's primarily an issue for the poor. It's not LeBron James's issue. He has removed himself from the damages and the ravages of real racism. He may have an occasional disrespectful interaction with someone, a disrespectful inconvenience." Now, he goes on to say that his biggest problem with LeBron James was because LeBron James compared his situation to Emmett Till, who was a young black teenager who was murdered in Mississippi at the age of 14. And he said the people that murdered Emmett Till got off, an all-white jury let them off. There was no real investigation. The whole town was against him. LeBron's $20 million Brentwood home gets vandalized, and I see two or three police cars trying to get to the bottom of it. LeBron's staff, I'm sure, cleaned up the spray paint within hours. This ain't Emmett Till, said Whitlock. Yeah, it's not Emmett Till, no doubt. But at the same time, once again, and I call coon alert, you know, when you're arguing against a brother who is a victim of a racist act, whether you want to acknowledge it as an inconvenience or as a, hey, it's a racist act. Doesn't matter how much the home is worth, whether it's $20 million or it's a $20 tent that a homeless guy has. They spray painted the N-word on it, and they meant to disrespect LeBron James and say, hey, you are the N-word. Doesn't matter how rich you are. Doesn't matter how quote-unquote respected you are. None of that matters. You are still an N-word. That's what that is saying. And so Jason Whitlock, yeah, you may be mad that he said that, but he took a stance, which is something that a lot of athletes don't even do. So, yeah, you can be mad at it, but see, it is not manly to criticize a dude for taking a stance against racism if you haven't spoken to that individual man to man. You know, I have a problem with Jason Whitlock, and I mean, this is cooning. I don't care what it is. You talk to LeBron, this have a discourse with him in private. Hey man, I ain't appreciate you doing the Emmett Till. Maybe you didn't want to do that. I mean, I'm thinking that's how you approach it. But when you come out like that and you make reference to how much money the house was and it's an inconvenience, LeBron James is rich so he doesn't suffer from racism. I'm like, come on, man. How you gonna say some bullshit like that? Cool alert. And I'm gonna leave it there with that cool alert. And I'm gonna go the opposite. Because today is a special day. Today, 26 years ago, I may or may not have had a hand in a child being born. Well, actually, I had a hand, but it was like a few months back. Happy birthday to my one and only son, Clay Creation. I love you. And, I hope you have many, many more. And speaking of my son, this is him. And it spreads.
Themselves. It spreads. and if others is affected by their wickedness. Why? Because of his weakness. Basically, coming into being from the original.
How my niggas is revolving doors. I lose battle sign to time, but always win the war. And I don't take time to heal like Achilles. Check that. Every beat on the tape, now let me kill you. If you feel it quicken in braille, I hope you feel these. Don't gain the world or lose your soul, that's amazing. I play melodies, symphonies, and similes. All of y'all creative writing teachers should have made for me. Yes, I got away with words. Seen the clips about that action, got away with words. God level bitter, I'm a bumper team. Hit two fly, got away with wings. What don't kill you make you stronger. The ground ain't a dog, that's my stomach hit a hunger. Play crazy, top five niggas alive behind. Did Pac, Nas, and Jay. See, I'm a product of Convoys, Andre, and Kanye. Mix that with Ghostface, Raekwon, and Fonte. I am not a real hip hop station. Can you do me a favor? If you disrespecting legends, don't expect me to be quiet. I can eat you with a bar, can't nobody say it. I don't describe the rap that you shit for the fader. And that ain't disrespect for all my music lovers. But being hype beat played out like leather jobs. I came to bring the pain. Most high suitable lessons learned from Big Daddy Kane. Since they taught the student God drops in the rain. Since they taught the students well, we became. Yo, this wicked in his mind, my holiness has declined. Inclined to let the blessings of my flesh into my mind. I'm trying to find God, I'm trying to find peace, but homie, more importantly, I'm trying to find me.
Together you got drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Clay Creation, intro, It Spreads. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. We're going to have to move to Maine. The governor in Maine is looking at releasing, and say it, Paul LePage, LePage, whatever. He's looking to commute the sentences of several female inmates as part of an effort to alleviate a shortage of workers as the tourism season starts. He said in a radio call-in show that he's asking the federal government for help in securing foreign workers to fill jobs in hotels and restaurants, as well as, finding workers, because apparently in Maine, it's a record low unemployment in the state, and they are having a hard time finding people to work. So I guess if you don't mind living in Maine, jobs to be had. Get a job. Cause they talking about they already releasing male prisoners. They released like 17 male prisoners, and they're looking at they're trying to release about 100 more, and he said that they're not going to release sex offenders or abusers. So basically, everybody who smoked weed in Maine that went to jail, they're going to release them. That'd be your tour guide and working in your hotel. So yeah, you need a job. Better get there before you release all these folks and they can get a job. It's kind of funny, you don't hear about that, right? We going to let people out of jail so they can get jobs. It's like that's the exact opposite of what happens. But speaking of people who should go to jail, Oakland is a city of Oakland. They're paying $1 million in the settlement for what they say. it started with the suicide of a Oakland police officer, whom the young lady, she was 17 years old. She was romantically involved with him, she said. And so she claimed later that the officer later introduced her to other officers who became customers. And the investigation revealed, and most people in Oakland know this, but say it just in case you didn't know, the investigation revealed allegations that she exchanged sex for favors and money, including when she was underage. Excuse me. Ultimately, four police chiefs resigned, and 28 officers across five departments were alleged to have had sexual contact with the young woman. And so the Oakland City Council resolution on the settlement said that the woman alleged, she was exploited by multiple police officers who continued to traffic, rape, victimize, and exploit her. And so her attorney, John Burris, says this has been a very, very difficult experience for a person her age, having to deal with being abused and taken advantage of by a number of police officers. And although we know from the facts that more officers than Oakland was involved, certainly Oakland and their officers were pretty intensely and aggressively involved. Now, the city of Oakland did not admit liability in the settlement, but they paid it nonetheless. And Burr said litigation is possible against law enforcement agencies in Richmond, Contra Costa County, Alameda County, San Francisco, and Livermore. So, I mean, we know it. Four police chiefs leave or fire or retire, as they call it. And the other 28 officers, they resigned. You know that this is just Oakland. As they say, there's litigation against five or six more law enforcement agencies. So I'm a guess that it'll be quiet settlements that'll be way on the back page, and they'll try to make it go away. But we know that, you know, we're talking about police officers of the goddamn law, prostituting out underage women for their sexual pleasure. Yeah, it's another day in the lives of police officers. They got that legislation passed to protect them. So going forward, the Protect the Blue Act that was passed by Congress is going to alleviate these type settlements. So even though the officers are guilty of violating, and I talked about this earlier this week, so even though the officers are guilty of violating someone's civil rights, this new bill stops that. It limits it, because technically, if she was engaged in what they call a felony, she may not necessarily be eligible for that. Now, part of it is mitigated because she's a minor. But let's say that there is someone who is doing it and is not a minor. Under the new law, technically speaking, if she is of consenting age and she is engaged in prostitution or acts of prostitution or sexual acts that are deemed incorrect, you know, the semantics that they'll use, they'll just they'll just be able to say, well, hey, tit for tat. Just wanted to point that out. And while I'm pointing that out, we're gonna talk about the hater of the week.
Hate.
I hate you. All right. Hater of the week is Walmart. Not that Walmart is not a hater every week, but in particular, Walmart, and they said, and they wouldn't allow workers sick days. And if they did have a sick day, like in this one case in particular, a woman in the New York area, well, it's not just one woman, but there was a survey of more than 1,000 employees. They accused Walmart of violating Americans with Disabilities Act and the Family and Medical Leave Act, among other worker protection laws. The lawsuit filed last month, and in the earlier complaint, says that Walmart discriminated against pregnant workers. And in one case in particular, a woman had her doctor's note, which they refused, and she was penalized for taking off time because she was having a troubled pregnancy, of which she actually lost the child. She had a miscarriage. So, I mean, it ends up tragic. And so we can't say, because it's all speculation, that the stress in a troubled pregnancy in particular, the stress that comes with the uncertainty of a job that you're working it because you need it, the uncertainty from the job and being treated a sort of way when you have legitimate excuses, but you're told that you're not, your concerns aren't valid. And hey, you know, you're sick, we're just going to punish you. So, you know, you have a situation where these negative issues happen. And Walmart, as a corporation, and as we know, corporations are people nowadays, apparently. this person called Walmart can get away with that. And yeah, there's a lawsuit. And they may lose the lawsuit. And they'll pay a fraction of what is right. And it won't reach down into the pockets of the people who matter, the people who have been unjustly treated. So, what do you do? Now, I would say, you know, and it's that double-edged sword, don't go to Walmart. But then, you know, if you work there, you can't encourage them not to go there because then you lose your job. I mean, it's a sick thing. And as you know, Walmart, because they have taken out all the mom and pops in a lot of small towns, Walmart is the industry. I mean, you say there's like one industry, Walmart being the retail industry, and then you'll have one or something else and one or something else. And so when they have that monopoly, they're able to just dictate the terms, and if you don't comply, well, hey, if we go away, what's going to happen? So you actually, as a corporation, you can hold a town hostage by treating people horribly, which is my hater of the week, Walmart. But shit, they're the hater of the week every week. But it's one of those things, you can have voter fatigue. So I can have hater fatigue, and I technically could name pretty much all the major corporations as hater of the week, but you got to diversify your portfolio of hate sometimes. And speaking of hate, Kathy Griffin, comedian Kathy Griffin, her celebrity run-in tour has been canceled after the release of the photo depicting her holding up a fake decapitated head of President Donald Trump. And so now many venues around the country are now cutting ties with her over controversy. You know, it went viral Wednesday, and she received a lot of negative backlash over the image. It's one of those things where you got to understand what you're doing. It's not like all the Curious George stuff and all the things that could be done to President Obama. Now, obviously, there weren't a lot of real celebrities who were attacking President Obama. It was the citizenry, right? I mean, we know the racism that Obama endured was on a whole other level. But it's interesting to see that, you know, in the environment that we're in. And yeah, a severed head is in, I don't know how that was funny. And maybe it was. I don't know how she was going to deliver that. I didn't see the humor in it. And, you know, there was 49% of America who voted for Donald Trump. They didn't find it funny either, so she's kind of stuck. And for all intents and purposes, your career is over with. I mean, because you don't hear a lot of support from quote-unquote liberals. I mean, all you see is folks, and not that I get into that liberal and conservative mumble jumbo, because they're all the same to me. I just find it interesting that everywhere you turn, you see attacks on her. You don't really see that much support. Now, granted, the decapitated head one, that's not funny, but still, it's comedy. Sometimes comedy is not funny, but folks' careers aren't ended because of it. You know, a lot of people's careers can still flourish. I mean, but hey, she took that chance, and I guess she thought it was funny, and nobody else did, and so she's kind of screwed over. Now, conversely, when you talk about bad choices, and when you say, you know, you're talking about defending Donald Trump. Now, he just nominated Calista Gingrich as U.S. ambassador to the Vatican. Now, who is Calista Gingrich? She's a 51-year-old Roman Catholic choir singer, author, and the third wife of former GOP Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Her, you know, it's widely thought that her appointment is a reward to Gingrich, who supported Trump. But the funny thing is about this, and this is where you start talking about is about who you know. And subtleties. I mean, because we talked about, remember, he was the moral high ground guy. He was the one that led the attacks on President Clinton at the time for getting his dick sucked in the White House. Now, she's his third wife. She's the one that he had an affair with for 6 years. She's the one that he left his wife in the hospital, the one he divorced in the hospital when she had cancer, she's the one he left her for. It's kind of, you know, it's one of them, when you start talking about stories of a cold-blooded individual and cold-blooded situation. That's about as cold. I mean, because she's in the hospital when he delivers the divorce papers. I'm gonna go with my mistress, and it's one of them situations where, you know, people say, "Hey, scandal, Elizabeth Pope." I know one's black, one's white, and we're talking about fictional character, but being a mistress pays off. You can become the ambassador to the Vatican. You may not grow up and be the president's concubine or hoe. I mean, well, technically you could, because Trump's wife used to be literally a hoe. Well, not that she may not be still a hoe, but she was an escort. So I guess that's kind of sort of in the ballpark. They like first or second cousin. But I'm digressing. In real life, and I guess this is another one of those situations for the groupies out there. Hey, if you suck dick hard enough and you groupie hard enough, you can latch on to the right person, and you can become an ambassador to the Vatican. Shout out to all the groupies out there. This right here is an opportunity. You see, there's light at the end of the tunnel. So get your membership, 24-hour fitness. You know, do them leg weights. Make sure you got strong knees. And if you don't have strong knees, then invest in some of the stretch pants. And maybe it'll be one of those things that could be popular with groupies. They can get the knee pads so that you protect your knees. Yeah, I need to go on break. This is the homie Scotty Spittin', dead Desky.
Hello, how are you?
Dead.
Of course, dead. Go.
A born knight, inspired by the life cycle. This is tribal to me, like a Bible you read. This is gospel to peace, from a cloth that bleeds, from the collar to sleeve. Yeah, I rock that with jeans, heart wraps like hard hats, constructing the sheets, working the masterpiece, TV. The S on my chest, Anthem Scott, production, still number one like LaRock. Raise your eyebrows, smell what I'm making, cut a butter eye that got the referee's hands waving. Like the party's over here, in the midst of the heat, in the huge streets I stand clear. Traffic is futile, the boy crowd graphic in nature. Slasher like small forward, breaking shoulders. Blaze like the warning coder. King Joffy's over. Show for me in the backseat. Coming for Hakeem and Simi. No meat. Niggas come out, they teeth like feet. All guns and no runs, don't got the right cleats. Pulling all their cards when I greet. Sleep to me. Go. Yeah, folks, I'll be rocking the most. Huh. And y'all dead. They go on the flow, now I'm back on the post. Come on, niggas are dead. Y'all gotta go, spin, and I'm past the post. They all dead.
Niggas know that I'll be rockin' the post. Rockin' the post.
Go, yeah, folks, I'll be rockin' the most. Give it to you on a daily like the soap. Copper, dramatic dance with rules like copper. These words are authentic, pass like copper. Go, spread bars, who sells, I'm a host. Show stage, niggas quiet on the set like Rancid. Bandwidth and wit used with no cable. Cords is off umbilical, bunch of jumps and fading. Go, said it before, I'm the most. Cheating in black and white, flannel crashing a light post. Go, drives and turn reckless. Now your text get unchecked like phone messages. Can't be reached. Pipes since midnight in red stripes, lake, tame and eat. Giant, swallow your pride. Stop lying, stop guns, get shot out the sky like goose flying. Cruise line in the ship with explosives and bombs. Distance between Gordon's and Whole Foods Tom. Gone, baby. Been done, gone. Even in open, I raid. Niggas pay a ton. On one for fun. On some, who else wants some? Dead, see the feet. Hold a dig when Spence come. I'm like 6 feet, 1 deep in the street. Run. Challenges come. Mow them down like Clint comes.
I put them down like dim sum, dim sum. 99 problems, but one nigga can fix them. Since the overload, niggas old and denser. Like dimension, remember, God, it's expensive.
Together you got to move, drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was the homie Scotty Spittin', Deadski. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. You know, it is, well, it's not quite that time, but it kind of is. I did want to get into something else, but I'm just going to go into Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
What the hell just happened again? Well, there's a noose found in the African American History Museum exhibit in Washington, D.C. And apparently, this is the second time in a week that the noose was found on the grounds of the Smithsonian Museum in D.C. Apparently, visitors walked into the exhibit and they saw a small noose lying on the floor. It had been left in the exhibit on segregation. It's like, woo! Yeah. Now, technically, that is not offensive. I mean, it's offensive, but it's actually real history. I mean, because when we think of segregation and Jim Crow, the noose is kind of like the last authentic piece of the history, right? I mean, when I think of Jim Crow and segregation, it's the Klan and nooses, because that's kind of what happened. Now, the part that is ironic, you know, we started talking about the whole Make America Great Again movement. And, you know, the white man being back, whatnot. What could strike a person is the fact that, you know, if you're a white person, not that you were ever losing, but it's like technically you're winning again, right? You're a white dude, you know, you got. There's no black man in the office, so you don't have to like mentally project that hate toward black folks, you know. And there's a racist white dude. I mean, he's like, yeah, I'm for y'all. He's in the White House. I mean, in the laws. I mean, he's saying all the stuff that shit as a white person should make you feel good about yourself. I mean, if not the non-racist white people. I mean, all 12 of y'all. I'm saying, for the racist white people, you should feel good. I mean, you know, when you got your tweezers and you're holding on to your little dicks, I mean, you should, like, pride. Like, yeah, my little dick gets hard now. Because I got a racist white guy. I mean, you're winning and you're still doing this stuff. I mean, like, talk about the N-word on LeBron James' property. I mean, nooses and the attacks. I mean, the murder attack in Portland. I mean, you know, it's like you're winning. You're on top and you still ain't happy with winning. You know? I mean, it's like Alabama, you know, they passed a law saying that you cannot remove a Confederate monument. You know, because it's like they want to hold on to that history. They, you know what? That was the good. I mean, apparently, getting pimped by a wealthy landowner is what you want to celebrate. I mean, because we know the facts are, yeah, you fought for Jefferson Davis' right to own slaves and the people like Jefferson Davis who actually own land. As I've said and will always say, it's like the greatest pimp job ever, where you get folks who don't own land, who will never own anything, won't have money to fight your cause. Like, you know what? We have the right to own slaves, but your ass don't own slaves. You can't afford to own slaves. But neither way. The fact that Groundhog Day says that you keep doing things like this, displaying racist acts, putting nooses down, just for the sake of it. You know, it's I won't say I'm hurt, because I'm not. I mean, I'm still always shocked that folks, they're very, very upset by it, and they're like shook by it. I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't be shook. It's just the obvious feelings of your neighbors have bubbled to the surface. Now, there are some people who were undercover coons who don't understand. It's like, look, I've been cooning for y'all for years, and now all of a sudden you done turned on me, and you don't respect my coonage, and you're doing these things. It's like, hey, it's Groundhog Day. Whether you believe in it or not, your coonage is still not enough. The coon force, no matter how strong it is with you, it still can't save you. It just can't. Groundhog Day, baby. And speaking of the Groundhog Day, Antonio Camardi, football player. He's cornerback. He used to cornerback for the San Diego Chargers and the New York Jets. And he had his moment in the sun as far as fame goes, because he was on the NFL show he was on the I had it in my head, and this is what happens when you get old. He was on the training camp, Hard Knocks. He was on Hard Knocks, and, you know, it is like one of the worst things ever, because he couldn't remember the name of all of his kids, because he was famous for fathering 10 kids. He didn't know all the names of them. He's like trying to name them, and he's like forgetting it on camera. And of course, in the article, they have the link to that. It was pretty funny, but sad at the same time. Well, he had a vasectomy in 2011, but it hasn't stopped him. He's got two more on the table. Well, he had twins, and I mean, he's like working on 13 and 14 now, because his wife is pregnant again, which of course is congratulations, because, you know, despite the fact that, because I don't see it as an indictment on him that he has a lot of kids, but he's taking care of them, and he's, well, I won't say he's a rich athlete, but if he spent his money right, or she spent the money right, after making millions of dollars playing in the NFL, they should be all right. I bring this up because know, we talk about racism, and we talk about the black folks who have been shot, the unarmed black men being killed at a rapid rate. And yeah, me and the homie Jaja, we talk about it. It's like it's the universe. It's how the universe it works. It's weird. So you know, we're talking about a guy that had a vasectomy. Father 10 kids, he's supposed to be done, but he's got 4 more. So, you know, the theory is that no matter what, when you kill 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, the universe balances that out. And so it would be a situation where you can call it a negative and say, oh, such and such got 6, 7, 8 kids. Such and such got 8, 9 kids. Such and such got 14 kids and they're laughed at and ridiculed, but maybe that's the universe balancing things out, right? Now, it seems like something that would be totally out of left field, but is it? I mean, if you believe in that sort of thing, I mean, when you talk about balancing out, and it's important that we talk about this balance, because all night I've been talking about subtle racism. So I saw another article where people on the internet were mourning the 1 year anniversary of Harambe, the gorilla that was killed in the Cincinnati Zoo when the 3-year-old boy fell into the gorilla enclosure and they killed him. Even though the Cincinnati Zoo didn't hold a public memorial for the anniversary of Harambe's death, people all over the internet, they celebrated it. Even the rapper who wears the dress, Young Thug, he released a title called Harambe. People all over the internet, on Twitter, everywhere, they were talking about it like, oh, we're going to miss Harambe. Now, I bring this up because people miss a gorilla and talk about the gorilla more than they talk about human beings who've been unjustly murdered and are no longer with us. You think about that for a second. The gorilla in the zoo has internet memes and love. Now, people say, well, hey, you got Black Lives Matter and they prop up all the people who have been killed. I wouldn't say prop up, but they are celebrated, right? Supposedly, if you call that celebration. But the fact is, people care more about animals than they do their own fellow human beings. You know, now, you say it's not racism, you say whatever, but the fact that a gorilla gets a day, but human beings who were taken from us do not, travesty of justice. And on that note, I am Mr. F the N Word, and this is another Smooth Trauma production. I'm out. Deuce.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Trauma.
Together, you guys.
Drama, smooth.